SpringHillToyota.com. I'm Kenny with Coastal Traffic on WABF 1480.
And thank you, Kenny. It is 825, 74 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome back 2 days in a row. What an honor, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for putting up with me for 2 days.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. Like I said, it's an honor to have you here 2 days in a row since council member couldn't make it yesterday.
Right.
So I watched part of the meeting online. Other folks can still do so on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel at any time. And the medical marijuana dispensary ordinance, not only did it fail, it wasn't even brought up to a vote. Tell us about that.
It was not. And I think, part of it is that when you are, dealing with the citizens, obviously, and that's who you represent, and they felt like they heard from enough of the citizens that said that they did not want a dispensary in Fairhope, that they felt that was enough to not, take action on it. I think the other thing is the state has not probably done a good job of educating people, because a lot of the information that some of the citizens gave while they were speaking is, not accurate. And I think, to debate that in public when they really don't have enough information, mm-hmm. We have a PowerPoint that was put out by the commission. There is a website. There's over 150 page law, that establishes the commission and talks about, the regulations related to medical cannabis, that I think that's a lot for a council member to have to, filter through.
As well as a citizen.
Correct. So, there are some things where they were saying, well, there's gummies that are going to entice children. Well, there's one type of gummy that's authorized, and it's a square, and it's like a certain flavor, and it's not sugar-coated. I think those are for people who can't, that's where the form they choose to take it in, because you can only have gel, suppositories, a patch, a nebulizer. There will be no raw plant material or anything that could be smoked or vaped, or food products such as cookies or candies that mm-hmm. would entice children. So I think there's just a lot of misinformation, and I think until that information is available and the council felt very comfortable with it, they just opted not to take any action.
Kevin Boone even said he felt like the city was trying to hide where it could go, and that would meant we weren't proud of it. If we were trying to hide it, I'm not sure what he meant by that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a matter of trying to hide it, to be honest. I think it's just being respectful of those organizations like daycares and schools and churches that we know might be opposed. I don't think it's a matter of trying to hide it. I think it's just a matter of being respectful of your neighbors and respectful of the citizens who are here who may not want a medical cannabis dispensary next door to them. But again, you're not talking about a place where people are just going in to buy,
to buy pot and get high. This is an alternative medicine.
Correct. It is something that is prescribed by a doctor that is very regulated, and something that if you need it, they've prescribed it. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's medically licensed.
Do you envision this topic and consideration coming up again?
That's hard to say. I had a reporter call me this morning, and I don't foresee it coming back up in the near future. I think that, we have some neighboring communities who have passed an ordinance, and so I think that it will be available to people in our area without having to put a dispensary in Fairhope. So I don't know that it would come back up anytime soon.
And just having the ordinance in place doesn't mean the city will have one.
It does not, because it's not really what I would say a lottery, but there will be only 4 dispensers across the state of Alabama approved, and then they will be able to put dispensaries in 3 locations. So there'll be 12 across the state. So just because we were to put an ordinance in place doesn't mean we would ever even have a dispensary here. That would be up to the state of Alabama to determine.
And now there's Daphne and Foley, is it?
Daphne, Foley, and Spanish Fort. Orange Beach is, I think, said no, and Gulf Shores, I think, is forming a citizen committee. And Daphne, I had an opportunity to talk to the Daphne mayor last night after our meeting, and they actually passed a resolution. So they have to go back and pass an ordinance, which is just housekeeping for them. But again, they really had, I think he told me he heard from a couple people, but not many mm-hmm. in opposition. And, we talked about that a little bit last night when I was talking to Mayor Lejeune. Fairhope has always had an engaged population. We have those people who are very vocal. They speak out against topics like this. You know, we've heard about it when Walmart was coming to town, or when the tattoo parlor was going to be here in town.
Or the open container, the entertainment district.
So we hear about, you know, we do have an engaged population, which is good. I mean, we want to hear their voice. That's who we represent. So, again, just because we heard from a lot of folks here doesn't mean Daphne will or Spanish Fort will or anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also on the agenda, I watched part of a public hearing concerning the Montrose Property Preserve PUD. Where is that? What street? I don't seem to see that on the agenda.
So if you are heading north on 98, it's going to be just past Rock Creek.
Okay.
And just past Rock Creek on the left-hand side of the four lane. So it's that area there. It's a bit, it's wooded right now.
Okay. And there was a lot of discussion. Apparently, this property had a preliminary plat approval for 77 lots some years ago.
I think 2015.
And then they came back with a much smaller plat approval that has expired. And apparently back in 2015, they didn't expire. Or so, sunshine law. What was that called? Sunset law?
Excuse me. In 2015, it was approved for 77. I think it was 77 lots. Then they came back and wanted to amend that PUD to 18 lots. So that amendment's been done. This happened, I think, in 2021. So there's a two-year window on that when it sunsets. So if that were to expire, it would revert back to the 77-lot PUD.
And what they're trying to do last night is change the 18-lot layout.
Right. They're trying to phase that, and they want to combine three lots and sell those and sell it as one parcel, which I don't think anybody has a problem with that being one parcel. But the whole, you really have to engineer the whole piece of property. And that's what they didn't want to do. They kept talking about, well, it's about money. You know, the people who are developing or the people who own it may have to spend a little bit more money to do that. I guess me personally, the council decided to send that back to planning and let them try to come up with a solution. But again, when you are looking at a whole piece of property that somebody
about
wants to...
How big? How many acres?
To be honest, I'm not real sure, okay. Lori. It's 13. Is it? That's not it. I was trying to see if it was in the...
It doesn't say. The agenda.
But it's 18 lots. And again, I think when you're looking at a whole piece of property, you have to look at that property as a whole for things like stormwater and those kind of things. And when you don't, and you start piecemealing the lots, is when you really get in trouble. I know I was in conversation with another developer the other day, and we were talking about the same thing. If you have to come back, once you start your site work on a piece of land, if that engineer has engineered that subdivision and you don't follow those engineered plans exactly, then you could end up with stormwater problems. You could end up with flooding on your neighbor's property, those kind of things. So to me, stormwater is a huge issue in this piece of property. You really have to look at it as a whole instead of piecemealing the lots.
If I'm understanding where you're talking about, it would eventually also flow into Fly Creek? Is it close to the creek? It could flow into Fly Creek,
I guess, yes, but it is also... So, you know, it backs up there to Taylor Street in Montrose, so off of Scenic. I mean, it is just, again, one of those pieces of property that has been sitting for a while. This family has had it. There's been somebody who's been trying to develop it, and there's been multiple plans, and there's been ample opportunity to work through the issues that they have. So there's a lot of easements in there that are county-owned easements. So there's a lot to do with the easements, too, in the right-of-ways that we've got to look at as well.
A 77-lot subdivision is 77 homes.
That's correct.
This is 18-lot PUD, means commercial and residential. Right.
At this given point in time, there is no plans for any commercial. Not that we've been told.
Interesting. Why do they want to go from 77 lots to 18? Just economically, money-wise, that doesn't seem to make sense.
No, but I mean, 18 lots is better for the area, to be honest.
But
I mean,
the developer's standpoint.
Okay. Hopefully planning will be able to work with them and get this worked out and bring it back to the council.
Because planning did initially recommend a denial on this.
They did recommend denial.
Okay. Thank you for that. It's always fascinating. And once again, I encourage folks to watch the meetings on YouTube. If you can't watch them live, you can watch them later. What else on the agenda? I guess some of the biggies we talked about yesterday, number 12, the Restore Act grant,
right.
The $5,700,000, I presume that was approved.
It was approved.
Kind of a last red tape step.
Right. And again, that's just housekeeping. Something that's required of this grant is to say that we're ready to move forward. We have 100% engineered plans, and we're moving forward with this project.
Okay. And we talked about number 17, to have an on-call contractor for water and sewer not to exceed $700,000 a year, and that was approved?
It was approved. There was a little bit of conversation on that because this year the mobilization fee on that contract is a little bit higher than it has been in the past. They're charging a $5,000 mobilization fee, which has not been part of the contract before. But again, we all know that cost is going up for contractors as well as for ourselves. So, we will be very diligent in making sure when we deploy them or mobilize them that we are doing it for multiple projects. We also talked about, just because of the state of the economy, to make sure we revisit these kind of contracts after a year, mm-hmm. to see if fuel has come down, to see if cost of, equipment, all that kind of stuff,
right,
has come down.
Right. Any what other items on the agenda would you like to mention? Presuming everything passed that was budgeted and part of your plan.
It did. We did talk a lot about, there are quite a few things on here that came in over budget, specifically the garbage trucks, and there was some other, pieces and parts of the mower max boom came in $11,000 higher. There was a van that came in $4,000 higher. So one thing, we just talked about a lot last night with the council is, we're holding the department heads' feet to the fire on this kind of stuff. We understand there's going to be some inflation. We know that. But our budget can't support, $80,000 increase or inflation in every agenda. So we have really got to do a good job of making sure we're getting the best pricing for this stuff, to make sure if there is an overage that we can absorb that somewhere in that department's budget. So we talked a lot about that last night, and just making sure we're being good stewards of the money that we, get from the citizens, the taxpayers' dollars, and making sure that, we are looking at cost hard and not doing anything that's going to be detrimental to our budget in the future.
And like you told us yesterday, we have a rainy day fund with about $8 million in it, but you can't rob it for these types of things. It's literally for the hurricane, for the rainy day.
Absolutely. And again, you can't move money between enterprise funds or the utilities and general fund just as you want to do that. I mean, we make that one transfer every year. That's a percentage calculation. And so, the general fund in particular, where public works, police, building inspection, IT, all those departments, come out of the general fund, so you just can't swap money back and forth. You have to live within your means, just like we do at home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's getting harder and harder to do these days, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Running back to the work session, is there anything you would like to talk to us about that we didn't cover yesterday in the work session?
We talked about on the work session was the discussion of the user fees charged by the Planning and Zoning Department. There are a lot of fees associated with when somebody, submits a plan or a zoning change. You have to advertise that. You have to put notice out. So we talked about passing through those costs to the individual developers, so we're not eating the cost of those advertisements, because they've gotten quite costly, to be honest. Some of these developments, like there's one on the agenda that was on the agenda this time, we have spent up to almost $2,000 just advertising that one development. So those are costs that we end up absorbing as a city, and we should never absorb those costs,
right,
for somebody. So we are happy to have the council look at that. It does have to lay over because it's an ordinance, but hoping that will pass so we can pass those costs along.
Okay. All right. Very good. You mentioned in your three things to know this week, we've got a rundown of Halloween festivities.
And there was a date wrong in my online posting.
I didn't
so
catch it.
It was on Thursday night is the witch's ride.
Yes.
I said the 22nd.
Oh, you meant the 27th.
I did. Meant the 27th. So it is Thursday night at 5:45. And if you have any questions, you can go to the police department's Facebook page. They have the map there. And 500 witches will take to the streets of downtown Fairhope. So really excited to have that back. And thankful that they chose the Baldwin County Humane Society as their,
yes,
benefactor.
And some streets will close at 5 until that event is done. You don't think,
correct,
it's going to last probably,
no,
an hour or less,
yeah,
but,
right,
nevertheless, do look at the map. We also have it on the WABF Facebook page, because cars will be towed at 5 o'clock.
That's right.
If they're on that route. And then Saturday morning, there's mm-hmm. another brief street closure for the trick-or-treating.
There is, downtown trick-or-treat. If anybody's been downtown during that, you know that it is packed. And we really worry about the safety of those kids who sometimes just get away from their parents and dart between cars, or will run out from behind a parked car. So this year, we chose to close off a portion of downtown just to make it safe for everybody. Streets will close from 9 to 12 and open back up. If we see that the, you know, the crowd's light, we may open them back up a little bit early, but please be aware of that. And again, if you're not following us on social media, or you know, have not downloaded our app or not signed up for our weekly emails, please do that, because these road closings are always mentioned there, and we want to make sure that people are getting that information, because I know it's inconvenient, but these are events that, you know, a lot of people in Fairhope really love. Why we have such a great town, you know, this is why people want to be in Fairhope, is because we do these kind of things. So please make sure you pay attention to the, again, those posts, the emails, and look for those road closings.
I had one friend of mine call me. I get this question every year. What night is trick-or-treating in Fairhope? And yes, every year I give the same answer. Go ahead.
Yes. So we had that question on social media. We do not dictate as a city when Halloween is. It is always October 31st. We have never changed it and never planned to, as far as I know.
There are some communities, when it falls on an inconvenient right. day, like a Monday, might decide right. to change trick-or-treating as a whole, but
no.
Fairhope is not one of them.
No. And inevitably, you're going to have people who are going to trick-or-treat. Even if you moved it, they're going to go out and trick-or-treat on
sure.
the 31st, because
mm-hmm.
that is Halloween. So, yeah, I don't think that there's ever a reason for us to change that.
And then there is an electric charging station mm-hmm. event
okay. on Saturday. So it's the Bay Area chapter of Drive Electric Alabama, or something. I think that's the name of it. But it's going to be at the Civic Center, where we have our solar charging station. It is from, I think it's from noon to 4. I think I said yesterday maybe 9 to 4, but it's noon to 4. So if you're interested in learning more about electric vehicles or the charging station, you know, please come out and visit. There'll be folks there who have electric vehicles who can talk to you. And we're going to have staff there as well who can answer any questions that you might have about the charging stations.
And some folks may not be aware, haven't I seen a couple of electric charging stations in the parking garage?
You do. We have them in the parking mm-hmm. garage, as well as there at City Hall, and we have plans to put two additional ones out. We're working on a ground lease agreement with the Pig out on 98 to be able to put a couple charging stations there
okay.
also.
Oh, and construction has begun on the Pier restaurant, so y'all put out a notice about that.
We did. When you go down to the Pier, you'll notice that there's a dumpster there. That is for the demolition on the interior of that building, so they can get ready for the Blind Tiger to open. They will also be using a 6-foot trailer with an ATV just to transport debris material to the dumpster. So, you know, we've asked them to be very careful with pedestrians and fishermen out on the pier. But again, just be mindful of that. I think there is a notice posted at the front of the pier. But excited to have the Blind Tiger, you know, doing something out there at the restaurant. And I think it's going to be a great addition to Fairhope. But to just be mindful of it and know that this is just a minor inconvenience.
Mm-hmm. And another minor inconvenience, as we're getting closer to the tree lighting on November 17th, the electric crews are no longer hanging lights just after 5. They're downtown right now.
They are. So most of y'all know our electric crews went to Florida. And so the electric crews will do the larger trees. Public Works does the smaller trees. So with the electric crews being gone for that period of time, they kind of got behind. So they're
okay.
trying to make up. So please be patient with them. They were, you know, helping our friends in Florida and have to come back and work during the day to catch up on these larger trees. So, getting ready for tree lighting, and that's always exciting. So we're glad to have them doing it. I also wanted to mention, Lori, Veterans Day is coming up. You know,
yes.
before we have a council meeting again, we'll have the Veterans Day Parade, Veteran of the Year and everything. So if you have, again, I think they're still taking nominations for Veteran of the Year. I don't know that has closed yet.
Okay.
But if you're interested in nominating somebody, you can reach out to either my office or to at the Nick Center, call Paige or Courtney. And, again, we will have the parade on the 5th, I think that's that Saturday.
Yes,
is that correct?
It's Saturday, November
Saturday
5th,
the
5th
at 10 a.m. So that's always such a sweet and fun parade.
It is.
And it gives us a chance to really honor those people who've made sacrifices here for us and our country. So please come out on the 5th and cheer on those folks and let them know how much we appreciate their service.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us this morning. Again, we're blessed to have her. If you missed part of it or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABF1480.com. It is 845 and 74 degrees.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, an accident westbound I-10 on the Bayway before the Battleship Parkway exit has traffic backed up almost to where you get onto the Bayway. They're trying to move it down onto the causeway, so might be clearing soon, but right now still that 4 to 5 mile slowdown. Use the causeway headed over towards Mobile. Beyond that, Mobile police working accidents, Flay Pierce Road at Walter Smith Road, Airport Boulevard at Dawes Road, that earlier accident outside of the westbound Wallace Tunnel.